The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Welcome back to the National Intel Report, second hour. And we are talking to Richard from Alabama. Was there anything else you wanted to add, Richard? Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad he called in. He had some good points. Okay, we have Mike from Colorado. Mike, are you there? Okay, Francis, North Carolina. I was there last summer. How are you, Francis?
Hello, Al.
Hi.
Hello. I had a quick question or two for you. I'm presuming this Real ID card or whatever they want to call it, I guess that's supposed to override the regular driver's license, Nexus card, and passport and total.
No. So far, it looks like they're still going to accept the U.S. passport. Okay, but there is an expiration date on the passport. And there's a whole bunch of rules regarding the passport that are in place. So they'll accept that. But okay. They want the real ID, and I think they'll accept a military ID. I looked at the list. They do have some alternatives. But let's just say you're not a driver. In Ohio, let's just say, well, I'm not going to screw with this driver's license nonsense. You know, I believe I've got a freedom to travel and all that. I'll just get an Ohio ID so that I can see a doctor or cash a check. Well, in Ohio, right, to get a state ID, you have to sign a document, if you've had a driver's license, an affidavit saying you're not going to drive at all. Or they will not issue you the state ID. They will not allow you to have both the driver's license and the state ID. So if they give you the state ID, you have to sign this saying you're not going to drive. And if you change your mind, you have to go back to point one to get a new driver's license, which is a learning permit, a written exam, the whole nine yards to get a driving license back. Yes.
Wow. Well, there's a reason why I inquire about that is because, one, back in 2009, I had made a trip, to Brampton, Ontario in Canada.
Yes.
Just avoid having to worry about flying and all that garbage, for that matter, since the pleasure of flying has been taken out of it. And so going into Canada was no big deal. You showed your license, you answered a quick question or two, and then you're on your merry way. Well, when I went to, and I was only there for like maybe 2 days, and came back into the States via Buffalo, New York, for example, and I had to go through almost, felt like the third degree or whatever, of who I was, where I was going, yada, 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 and they had cameras this way, that way, looking at the vehicle and so forth, and I give my license, and they said, well, do you have a birth certificate? And I said, well, okay, fine, I have a copy of that. They said, well, do you have a copy of this? I'm like, no, that's it, but sorry, you know. And they proceeded to open the side of the vehicle to look in, and Nash said, what's in the ice chest? And I said, that's my din-din when I get to Erie, Pennsylvania. I said, you open that up, you're buying my dinner, to say the least. And the synopsis was, is that they said, okay, we've made record on this file of yours that if you ever leave the U.S. again, you will not be able to get back in unless you have one of the three things. And I quote, a passport, a Nexus card, or enhanced driver's license.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, well, good, I'll make sure Mother Half researches that for me when I get back. And I'm thinking to myself in the back of my head, go take a hike. And so I finally got through the gatekeepers, if you will, and gave Mother Half a call and said, I just now got through the gate and I'm on my way back home. And the irony is that they said, well, how is it that you have your licenses in one state, but the vehicle's registered in another state? And I said, that's because my husband works in the other state and we have a house in the other one, like as if it was any of their business. And
yes.
So, which was the funny irony. I was like, well, what's it to you, you know, ad nauseum. And so when I got back, I filled them in, and I thought, you know, much as I really, the atmosphere was very different in Canada anyway at that time compared to getting back into the States. Very
well,
different.
This has all changed. What you witnessed was the implementation of the Real ID Act. And when you mentioned it, and I didn't say it, and thank you for bringing it up, when I read the legislation, they want these IDs. One of the things that they need, if the state is going to be compliant, is an ID that can be held out. And if you look at these IDs, you will see that there's like chips in them. So they need that new ID to be compliant, to be able to read it electronically.
Exactly. Unfortunately, my other half has a driver's license with the Mikey chip in it.
Yes.
Ironically, speaking of which, the local community bank, unfortunately, because of the way they are able to process a credit card for you, they've had to go through and allow that to be done to the credit card as well as being microchipped as well. And before they ever did, I put a request to opt out, and unfortunately, come to find out, I cannot opt out. So
yes.
As a result, that gets left at home, and
yes.
So I don't carry it on me because it's none of their business where I go, what I do, or anything else. So I leave it behind me, unless it's an emergency or something.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. But we got to keep fighting for this without prejudice, because you ran into a whole bunch of rules that you had no idea were even in place. And that's why we have to preserve our rights. They've got this moving along, and we don't even know it's there until we crash into it.
Pretty much. Oh, by the way, when you said about the signing pad or whatever for the licensure or whatever,
yes.
I think I tweaked their head at one point because I had to renew my license at one point.
Yeah.
And when I did, the one person that saw how I signed my name, they were like, you realize that can be co-opted or whatever, or counterfeited. And I said, if someone can counterfeit that signature, then they deserve to get it. And so, because one signature for paperwork, I use another signature for electronic signing.
Yeah, well, see, now you go back to the Real ID Act, and I looked at the manual. They want, in fact, I can say exactly what they want. This is what they have in their manual. Ohio does not require a person to sign his or her name exactly as printed on the application. However, Ohio does require the person to sign his or her legal signature, i.e., the same signature the person uses to sign other legal documents, including checks.
Ouch.
Yes. So, again, we're back to that. They want that legal signature, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And And that's stating to them that you accept and understand all of the ins and outs around this ID, which, of course,
next
we don't.
Next thing you know, they'll want a strand of your DNA on the license or your blood, drop of blood on it.
Or fingerprints.
Oh, they forget about that. The photo is bad enough. There's no way I'm doing a fingerprint.
And in fact, when I brought up the ID2020.org, that alliance, they want a digital, this again, sustainable development goals by 2030. They want everyone to have a digital identity that's there from birth to death and a biometric identity to go along with the digital identity. That's their stated goals. And I hope to God we can put some sticks in those spokes, you know.
Oh, well, that's true too, because that sounds an awful lot like, shall we say, next step of chipping you in your body physically. So, marked by the beast or whatever. So,
well, yeah,
whenever.
And what's the difference? There's not a great difference between, Francis, you having to have a card with a chip in it and show the card. And the card is a picture of you with your biometrics on it. And if you don't have that card, you can't do commerce or can't do this and can't do that. There's not a great deal of difference between that and having the chip in you. It's just very close. Instead of having it in you, they've got your picture as your biometric, and they've got the chip in card. And that's where we're at already.
It's very subtly done, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Very subtly done. And quite frankly, the bad part is, and I have to let you go after this, is that they are making it so trendy, sophisticated, and sexy that, oh, you are with the system. You shouldn't fight the system. If you want to be one of us, you have to go with this.
Yes. Absolutely.
So.
Yep.
Have a great one.
Thank you, and thanks for calling in, Francis. I appreciated what you contributed. That was good information. Okay, we have a caller from North Dakota. There's a state I've never been in.
Yeah.
Bob, are you there?
I can't really be from North Dakota, seeing it's a legal fiction, but I can come from the landmass referred to as North Dakota.
There you go.
You know, there's power in our words. And I paid John, you know, I sent John, $300, shut the radio off 2 years ago. I turned it on today. And right off the get-go, what do I hear? I hear you talking about the UCC. Why do you keep going back to their playground by their rules if you acknowledge it's a fraud?
Because
it just doesn't make any sense. You know, I'm a guy, I have many, many, many children because I don't want them to know how many I have. They've been home birthed across decades. We have nothing as far as their paperwork. And I keep trying to explain this to some people that are in the older age group. And you guys are by default programmed. Keep going back. But you don't acknowledge the 20 to 30-year-olds that I'm hearing. And these 20 to 30-year-olds are not paying property tax. They're not paying income tax. And they're getting away with it because they're kind of like me. You know what? What fool are you going to send to my house to make me do your will? Sure, you know what? I may die. Well, let's look at the numbers here in this landmass called North Dakota. There's 202 state troopers in 56 counties. I guarantee you my militia unit would eat them before tomorrow morning. So why are you playing their games? I can't conquer this whole game by myself. But when you keep going back, you're going to lose. You know what? Who gives a damn about the real ID? I'm going to drive or travel or whatever word we want to use without their damn paper. And when some stupid state trooper wants to pull me over and I go bang, 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 I will get back in my car and leave. What the hell is so hard about this, people? You want to be a slave? Keep talking.
Okay, Bob.
You know what?
Bob.
I'm not even going to waste my time with you.
Bob, we don't all live in North Dakota. There's one problem right there. Here's another problem. The way we're getting tied into the system is through the currency. And I think people may be aware who listen to RBN that a wonderful man named Ron McDonald and with the help of Dr. Robert Rowan wrote a book called They Own It All, Including You. We're encaptured by the money that we have to use. It's a private currency that they control. Without access to that money, it is impossible for me to pay my water bill, my electricity. It is possible for me to put gas in my car, put food on my table. We're all captured because that currency is essential for us to survive. It's not voluntary. We have been overtaken by the money monsters who control the currency. Is he still there? Mike? Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's a shame that he doesn't understand that. Most RBN listeners, I think, do. It's the currency. I mean, we're talking about the credit cards here and the bank accounts. That's where they give you access to your money. In fact, we are concerned that there's going to be a time that they won't, that they're trying to move us into a cashless society. So if you don't have digital access to their currency, they turn off your credit card, they turn off your ID, then you will be just shut out and getting food or heat or gas or having your lights on could become absolutely impossible for you. And that's, I think, most of us aren't volunteering. I'm not. I'm just captured like everybody else. Okay, we have another caller. This caller is from Oregon. His name is Ray. Good evening, Ray.
Hello, Al. How are you?
Good.
We must get our priorities straight. We are all creations of God. We're living, breathing, flesh and blood, men and women. We're living. Government is a fiction. It is based in living man and woman's thoughts. It has no life of its own except for the thought that we hold about them. Therefore, they're a fiction. Now, what that fiction has done has created another fiction called a person, which is a non-living man, which is a citizen. You see, I'm one of those sovereigns. I am above the law. I have proven this. They tried to put me away for 40 years in prison, and when it came time for sentencing after my representing myself in two trials, I just refused to accept their sentence. They let me go with no charges over my head. I have been talking about this and writing about this. I have 395 YouTube and Vimeo videos on file regarding the subject, and no one cares. They remain fearful persons. Nowhere will you find in any government code the word man or woman, or living man and woman. They regard them as persons. And they must...
Okay, let me jump in here, because sure. That's what I'm all about. You're probably not familiar who I am and what my show is.
I listen to you quite often.
Okay, well then I do this. I have a show on RBN on Saturday night called In Defense of Humanity. And for, gosh, more than a year, I think maybe going on 2 years, I have been promoting the idea of a notice of condition precedent. This notice is absolutely doing what you say. It is telling the world that you are a flesh and blood living man,
right,
and you're not a citizen of the United States, and you're amending all your agreements with without prejudice. And the without prejudice allows you to preserve your rights as a living man or woman. Okay, so this is right up the alley of what I have been doing for more than a year.
But what you're doing is you're playing by their rules, Al, and that's the problem. When those who make the rules win the game.
Well, no, I'm not playing by their rules. Hold on. We got to go to break, and we'll resume right after break. Thanks for calling in. Hang in there, people.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
I've left behind the empty streets that once inspired my life, and the strength of the emotion is like thunder in the air, cause the promise that we made each other haunts me to the end. I know you're out there somewhere.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking to Ray. Now, Ray, in theory, I agree with you. Do you have a driver's license?
No.
Okay, now...
I rescinded my driver's license in 1999, and I travel now.
Have you been stopped?
Oh, yes. Many times.
Okay, now, do you have a bank account?
No.
Okay, how do you get money?
Well, that's the point. I have changed my status from that of a 14th Amendment citizen, and I have become, as such, a living man.
Well, how do you pay your bills?
Pardon me?
How do you pay your bills? How do you keep the heat on? How do you get the lights? Where do you get the money to make out the money order?
Oh, that's the point. I'm a retired police sergeant.
So you have a pension?
Yes.
Okay, so you're in the system because you're getting their funny money Sure,
no,
you
I'm
can't.
Not. No, I'm not. I'm a secured party, and I have priority over the individual who is getting a pension, you see.
Okay, so you get the pension, and then you take it to get a money order, and then you send it to the utility company.
Approximately, yeah. I live okay. in an RV park where all my utilities are paid by the park.
Okay. See, that's an unusual situation, but they're not going to leave you alone either, just to let you know. Because
well,
that RV...
They have. They've run their course, and they leave me alone now.
Well, they have,
they
but they're not...
They will not arrest me.
They are not going to... The way they're going to get to you, which is why it's so important to reach out to them in their system and make your status known in a way that they can see. What they can see is they can see you rebut a presumption, and they have to acknowledge a notice that they can see. If I just stand here and say I'm a sovereign, all I get is I get put on their list of domestic terrorists because they've already identified sovereigns yes. as domestic terrorists.
I'm so, on that list, I'm sure.
Yes, you are. So what we want to do is not be in their system, but we want to address them in a way that their system can acknowledge. That's all. If
well, you
look
see,
at
I'm on their system, but that's not me. You see, they still regard me as a person, and I'm not a person, and I have proven that in court.
I understand that, but you're using their funny money. And that's where this thing is tied in. Have you had a chance to read Ronald McDonald's book, They Own It All, Including You?
No, I have not.
Okay, I recommend that because, yes, something happened with the 14th Amendment, but something even more important happened in 1933. And if you get stuck at the 14th Amendment and don't move into the passage of the Social Security Act, if you worked for the police force, I'm pretty sure that you had to give a Social Security number to get a job.
Yes.
So you've already got that.
See, that's linked to the individual that I have prior dominance over. See, I'm the living man, secured party by their law. You see, and. The money comes to them, but I have priority on that, so it comes to me first.
Well, it's coming to you, but it's coming to you, and you can't change this fact. It is coming to you as a Federal Reserve note value through that Social Security number pension. So that cannot be altered. So I think you and I would like to get to the same place. I am just saying that... getting to that place by restricting our signature and establishing that we are living flesh and blood men and women and we are not citizens of the United States for the record and being prepared to present that to them in the form of a notice that's already been publicized is a way that they can recognize it in their world because you're using their rules and you're handing them your paperwork in a way they can see it. And it cannot be considered a domestic terrorist when you do it that way.
Well, you see, they're not concerned with one man. They can write me off. They're more concerned with the numbers who still believe that they must abide by the government, which is a fiction, and they must abide by their fictional rules. They must agree to be a person.
Well,
and
hold on.
When you have that joinder made between living person and the fiction,
hold on.
Then they have fiction over you.
We got to break, Ray. Sorry, we got to go to break. Hang in there.
Well, it's all right. Even if the sun don't shine, well, it's all right. We're going to the end of the line.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Welcome back. We've been talking to Ray from Oregon. You know, Ray, there's no way not to wear the two hats. I agree with you in theory, but you're in that trailer park. There's some kind of an agreement that that trailer park has with the utility companies to provide utilities. Right. That trailer park probably has given the names of the parties who rent space in the trailer park. The trailer park has to do business in the commercial system. Your pension plan has to do business in the commercial system. So for you to have a place to live and have money, we have to navigate both.
May I explain something to you that would clarify all the confusion that exists between you and I at the present time?
I don't think there is confusion.
Well, give me some time and I'll explain it to you very simply. I live by God's law. God's law is
Okay, God's law is not in commerce, and God's law is not in charge of your trailer park. Let's go back to practical living.
I understand.
You got to live. You got to have a roof over your head, or you'll not survive.
I have one. I own it outright. I have no debts. and I have all my needs are provided for.
Well, then that's unusual, but good.
Of course it is. It's unusual because most people are conditioned to be slaves.
Well, most people don't want to rent a place in a trailer park either. I mean, some of us have children. Some of us want to be near a school. Some of us want to, you know.
Well, I'm 80 years old. I've lived that life, and I've gone through all the travails that most people go through. And I've come to where I am today because of it. And that's what I'm trying to communicate to people, that they don't have to continue living the way they are. You see, they are the creators of government, and what they have created, they can uncreate.
They can't uncreate.
They can boycott government anytime they want and withdraw all their support, financial and otherwise, and government would die because of the lack of support.
Okay, Ray, thank you for that. I don't think that's at all practical. There's just no way you can withdraw support and still get to the store, keep the heat on, care for your children, see a doctor when you get sick. Now, if you're 80 and healthy and you're renting in a place, that's a very unusual circumstance. I have dependents. My family has dependents. They all need fed. They all need roofs over their head. I don't live in a place where I can even get the food without having an automobile. And in addition, our money comes through direct deposit into a bank account. We cannot even access our pay without a bank account because it comes direct deposit. So you live in a different world.
I know that.
Yeah. And
what I'm trying to do is communicate to all that they can live that world too.
They cannot live that world if they have a paycheck that they have to count on to pay the bills.
Well, I'm doing it.
Well, you're retired, Ray.
That's correct.
And you have no dependents, and you're living in a trailer park renting a trailer. That's not going to apply for the people who have children and have to go to work every day. I mean, 80-year-old and a pension and a guy who's 55 and has a family to support cannot be living exactly the same way. He's got to have a paycheck.
May I explain how it's done? And you can cut me off anytime you want.
Well, I don't think you haven't done it because you're living in the trailer park who pays for utilities with your name on it. What? So you're still in the system. It's just that you've learned how to wear both hats, and that is what we try to teach. We learn how to wear both hats.
Well, here's how you do it. We have two minds. We have the subconscious mind, which is the God mind. It's infinite. It's without beginning, without end, and it is the act of creation. We create our own lives ourselves. We're co-creators of our lives. You see, we have been trained in the conscious mind, which is the intellect, which is divided and opposing, which always leaves us in confusion within ourselves and in our projections in all of our relationships. That's the civilized society that we live in.
Do you
That's
eat?
Hell.
Ray, we're
living
do you
in hell.
Eat? Ray, do you eat?
Yes, of course.
Okay, do you buy food?
Yes, I do.
Is that your conscious mind or unconscious mind buying food and feeding yourself?
It's the balance of the two.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. You gotta
balance. That's what I'm saying, too. You see?
Yeah.
That's all that I'm saying is that we're unbalanced people if we live in our conscious mind.
You can't walk away from their system as long as you have to buy food and they control what you use for currency.
Well, you see, their system is unbalanced and it keeps us in hell. And I'm saying that we can transcend that system anytime we transcend our intellect. And we live in a balance between the subconscious mind, which is the mind of God, and conscious intellect, which is the mind of Satan. You see, Satan controls
the Ray,
intellect.
We got other callers. We're probably not going to, we're going to have to agree to disagree. I don't understand why you can't comprehend that you need money to buy food. Everybody needs money to buy food and pay for electricity. And it doesn't matter what your consciousness is. You have to be able to figure out a way to do that, that you're not contracting in all these deals that are against your best interest, because the system is designed to entrap you based on the money you need. Okay, thanks for calling in, Ray. I know what you're trying to say, and on some level I agree, but we still have to deal with the everyday pay-the-bills matter. I mean, That is a system that's there, and I have not figured out a way around it. I'm not going to live in Alaska as a homesteader. I'd freeze. Okay, let's take a call from Texas. Roxanne, have you been paying attention to all this confusion?
Hi, let me do some levity here for a minute, and then you can get back to this La La Land questionnaire, whatever. But my driver's license is due in November.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wear rose-colored Coke bottle glasses, a wig, draw my eyebrows, and, you know, they're going to just mess them up a little bit, put my name as Muhammad Atta on it. You know, like you say, we're in a system. It's designed, I say, way before 1933. I can go B.C., but that gets another, like, woo-woo. But just try to, you know, you're in the system. It's their system. It's not our system. And you might, you know, you got a block of cheese. You might get to cut a corner off here or there, but the block ain't going nowhere.
Well, that's the thing, is that as long as they control money, and I hope Ray gets a chance to read They Own It All by Ron McDonald, as long as they control our access to money, which they do right now, we have to wear two hats, and that's what I think you've been trying to do, what I'm trying to do. I still have to pay, you know, buy dog food. I still have to buy food to put on the table, and it's very cold here in Ohio, and without the money, the Federal Reserve notes, to pay the electric bill, I would not survive this winter.
Well, it's global warming, Al. Come on, stop it. Get over it.
Yeah.
Have a great night.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, it is a spiritual battle. I do agree with that. But at the same time, it's a practical battle as well. We got man's laws and God's laws and all of this. Unfortunately, God is not in control of that which we call money, that which we need to sustain ourselves, buy food, and keep shelter over our heads. So unless we want to go out and be a homesteader, on some level, even the homesteaders use money. I noticed on these shows they have on Animal Planet and the Discovery Channel, even they buy petrol or they buy wood, lumber from time to time. Even they have the need for some Federal Reserve notes. So I'm not sure anybody can live without them, to be honest with you. That's why we need to differentiate between the legal fiction corporation person, which is a one-man corporation, and the living flesh and blood man or woman. And back to the fact that that's why it is so important that we continue to be able to sign our checks, sign our consent forms if you get critically ill and you want to go to the doctor without prejudice. That's the only way we can bring ourselves out of this system long enough to not comply with those conditions that we know nothing about. And it's getting tighter and tighter. Now, raised in Oregon, he's 80. He doesn't have the utilities in his name. He doesn't have a bank account. I know very few people who could live like that. Where I live in Central Ohio, that would be mission impossible. Okay, so first I would have to sell the house, leave the family, go find a remote place somewhere, find a way to access money in a way that avoided their banking system. And in and of itself, he doesn't have a bank account. I guess he just gets the check in the mail from his pension. I don't know anybody, he might be the only one I know who gets a pension, where they don't do direct deposit. Even Social Security now wants direct deposit. So it's very difficult to even get a pension. I guess people could barter. That's been going on for millennia. But learning how to live in their system does require that you understand the Uniform Commercial Code. That's what their system is built upon. The law of contracts and the law merchant. If we read the general provisions and attach our mind to understanding how the Uniform Commercial Code works, you start to see very real possibilities. It functions under presumption. The presumption that if I sign that workstation pad without restricting my signature, it is presumed for the record that I accept and understand all of the intricacies surrounding the driver's license. And that is what we have to battle. It's a presumption. The whole UCC was built on presumption. If we all understood what was going on, and they had to spell out all these terms and conditions to us prior to doing business with us, hardly any of us would cooperate. We would just all say no. And if everyone said no to driving a car because of this, then that would be a problem for them. So it's much easier for them to conceal this information and put into the UCC presumption that you understood it all when actually you did not. That's how they're getting by with it. Okay, we have a caller from Florida. Mark, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Al, can you hear me okay?
Sure can.
Good. The previous gentleman caller, I've gotten heated arguments with other people with the same mindset, I suppose. They'll say, I don't have a driver's license, but I'll ride the bus. And my
right.
comment to them is, so you're letting somebody else suffer the license so you can ride free, you know,
right.
free without the burden.
Right.
So basically what they're saying is, I'll let everybody else sin and suffer, and I'll just live off of them. And
that's been my experience.
So wrong.
Mark, that's been my experience with everyone I've run into. And I think
they don't want to be free. They don't want anyone else to be free but them. Or, you know, I don't know if that's the goal. But the people you got to stand and fight. Or,
right.
I don't know. I don't even know if that's a good term or word to use. But you, I don't know. People
well, you know what, Mark? I like to say we have to learn how to deny our consent. We have to learn how to say, I don't consent. And because they're going to presume that every one of us who signs all these paperwork, the presumption is there when we put our little signature on it that we consented to everything involved with that piece of paper. And we have to start by understanding that it's by presumption that they're functioning. And unless we put something on that piece of paper that breaks that presumption, in their world, we consented.
Well, I think it's even worse than that. In their world, they don't even know if we've consented or not. They've just been trained to have us fill out a form, and if we don't have a form, they get to point a gun at us. They don't even know anything about freedom, truth, honor, God, country. They know nothing. It's beyond ignorant.
Well, their
they don't
system,
even know they're killing us.
The word honor cannot be applied to their system, in my opinion.
No, but they're liars and thieves, and they don't even know they're liars and thieves.
I don't know. I listened to Max Egan the other day, and he sort of said, no, we have to start with something in common, and the thing that I think we all need to have in common is the world is being run by a bunch of criminals. And I thought, yes.
But the everyday man and woman believes in it and believes it's the right thing to do. And they are Al Capone's hitmen, and they don't even realize that they're Al Capone's hitmen. They are I am my own worst enemy, is what it is. They don't even realize that they are lying, cheating, stealing, and robbing people for a system that is based on, this is what I've been raised to believe.
I know, you're so right.
It drives me nuts.
Without all the little people willing to enforce all these rules on you, you know, everywhere you go, right? The bank teller, the bank manager, the receptionist at the doctor's office, you name it. Wherever you go, they got the little people inflicting these rules on us, and the little people have no idea what they're doing.
Right. That's what I'm saying. They're liars and thieves and robbers and rapists and pillagers.
Yes. And, you know, I've talked a lot about the medical system. And tomorrow night, just to let people know, I'm going to talk more about the medical system because I came across an article that really kind of shook me up. And it's called Stanford's AI Predicts Death for Better End-of-Life Care. How does that sound?
They don't want you to suffer, you know, a prolonged death. We'll just end it now.
And we're going to let the computer decide when that might be, right?
Exactly. I forget what it was, but and maybe you was talking about it. But everything is you said they enter everything into the computer, and then
right.
The computer pops up a sentence.
Yes.
Call the police on this guy. Dial 911. Report this man, and they'll do it.
And they'll do it
just by punching things in the computer.
Well, now, Mark, let me ask you. This is how it works, and I ran into it, and I gave up on TurboTax. I thought, oh, this is easy. My husband doesn't have to do the taxes. I'll do TurboTax. So I typed it in, and then it would take me to a different place based on the previous answer, and a different place based on the previous answer. And if I had made a mistake in the beginning, the thing was so fouled up that I could hardly fix it. Because it built from one to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, and kept the information in there and compounded it. This is what's going on in the driver's licensing agency. The information stays in there with your number, and as they type new information, if anything doesn't agree with the old information, then they get a message. They can't go any further. They have to stop and call the license control help desk. That's what they've got.
And then they call the supervisor out, and they'll bring a dog to search you.
Yeah. or they'll say, you don't get a license today. Here, call this number. Or whatever, you know. They dump you. That's it. You're done. You're not going to get your license. And that happens.
There's no remedy. You can't sue them. You know, you can't sue them because you can't make it to work now. You know, what do you do with it?
That's the problem. And a retired man like Ray, he doesn't have to get in the car and go to work every day, but a lot of people do. And to think that they can get out of this mess when they've got a family to support, that to me is not very realistic. Do you think, Mark?
Well, they won't let you grow your own garden. If you're in a trailer park, boy, there's all kinds of restrictions on you. I don't know. I keep thinking Ecuador.
Yeah. I know a lot of people do. Well, I have another caller. Thanks for calling in, Mark. I appreciated your contribution.
Enjoy. And I was born and grew up in Ohio, so enjoy the weather.
Where?
Just south of Columbus.
What's the name?
I grew up. So.
Oh, okay. Great. Good to hear from you then. Okay. I think we have time for one more caller. John from Little Rock. John, are you there?
I just want to talk about the Patriot Act.
Okay.
And I want to talk about who wrote the Patriot Act, Assistant Attorney General Viet Dim, Vietdinh. This man was a political refugee from Vietnam who fled with his mother in a boat, and somehow they made Australia and came to the United States. This traitor scumbag took advantage of everything his new country had to offer. And then, when 9/11 happened, him as Assistant Attorney General wrote the Patriot Act.
He was an attorney.
On his new country.
He was an attorney, right?
He was the Assistant Attorney General, Viet Dim, from Vietnam. And part of the Patriot Act was taken from the new government of Vietnam crime-fighting law. See, this is what happened. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I heard that it was written long before 9/11, too.
Oh, his name is on this thing all over the internet.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, the Vietnamese community called him a model of Vietnamese that struggled to top government position. I beg to differ. This man should be extradited back to Vietnam to stand trial and let the appropriate sentence be carried out under Vietnam law for leaving. That's there what I think.
Okay.
So, this is what happens when you don't pay attention, American citizens. We let in these traitors and refugees, and they take a dump on our country.
Well, and it's not only that some people aren't paying attention. Don't you think they're intentionally trying to conceal the truth from us?
We're doing that one all day. I don't want to waste your time on that one. This country is full of secrets and lies.
Absolutely, absolutely, no question about it. Thank you, John, and we maybe have time for one more. Joe from California, I think that's probably the last we're going to be able to take. Joe, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, I was just wondering, my thoughts on this are if the society goes cashless, it'll remove everyone's ability to boycott any of this stuff that's done to us.
Yes.
And I've tried to email you a couple of times under like three different headings that you have under the RBN network. You have two or three two websites and one show email address and never got a reply over the last year or so.
I get an awful lot of emails. What was your question or what was your comment that you wanted a response to?
Well, there's so many topics that it can be better addressed in an email. And
okay.
You can hear the passion that your listeners have with trying to find the solution to get past all of this. And I don't know what the answer is either, but, you know, you hear things like the citizens' right to travel and no license and all that.
Right.
Just like you stated many times before, Aaron Russo said the master plan for the United Nations, when you look up the definition of the United Nations, you see it is its own country, and it's within the borders of the U.S., and it has its own currency and its own laws. It is its own country, and it's owned by the Rockefellers, and it was built by taxpayer money loaned to them.
Yes.
And it took them 80 years to pay the loan back at 0.1% interest or something, but they actually wanted to have the United Nations on their own estate somewhere in some fancy place in New York. And it is its own country. And that place or the Council on Foreign Relations or any of those other places that, you know, these you hear all the time, the Republicans, the Democrats, when in reality you look behind the curtain and it's the same people trying to protect their own Wall Street profits and everyone's bribing everyone and there's Panama Papers, offshore tax shelters. And
Joe, I can hear the music. Thank you for calling in, and I enjoyed sitting in for John Stadtmiller. Tune in tomorrow night. Maybe you'll find the show interesting. This is Al Whitney saying good night. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.